Good morning. Welcome back to our third Anchored in the Word morning reflection for this week. And we've been looking at the tragedy and the triumph of Palm Sunday. And this morning, what we're going to focus our attention on is looking at the tragic irony of the way that the people were crying out, "Save us." What you may not realize when you read the passage quickly is that as they were saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord," they were actually quoting from a messianic passage in the Psalms. And so I would like us to kind of look at what they were saying and why they were saying it, and then to see what the people were ultimately missing from the Psalm that they were quoting from. So let's read the text together again. It's John chapter 12, and we'll begin in verse 12. "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.' And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereupon. As it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass's colt.' These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they these things that were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people thereof that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. And the Pharisees therefore said amongst themselves, 'Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him.'" So we're looking at tragedy and triumph at the same time. Palm Sunday is a triumphal entry. The things that the people are saying, in fact, they're good and they're true. It was good for them to say to Jesus, "Save us now." The problem was not what they said. The problem was their understanding of the significance of what they were saying. And as we look at this concept today, and then we further develop it tomorrow, we're going to see that human nature hasn't changed at all. The same way that people approached Jesus incorrectly at that time is a common problem even today. And so let's kind of think about what was going on when these people were saying, "Save us now." They were in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was exploding with people. There were people everywhere because they were gathered together to celebrate the Passover. The Passover is one of the most significant periods of the Jewish holiday season, because it reminds the people how they were delivered from bondage in Egypt, and that God preserved the firstborn through the death and the application of the blood of a Passover lamb. And so when the people were gathered together to celebrate, it was an exciting time where people were thinking about how they had been enslaved and God rescued them. The problem is that some of these people, as they were gathered together, did not understand the significance of the Lamb and what it pointed to in the Messiah. They were celebrating a picture that they did not fully comprehend. And what's amazing about what they're doing is that they're literally fulfilling the Passover as they go about doing what they're doing. They're going to ultimately send Jesus to the cross. And when Jesus goes to the cross, he's going to fulfill the Passover lamb. When John says that the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, that's who Jesus is. He is referring to that Paschal lamb. And the cries that they were giving were passionate cries, but they were filled with irony, a tragic irony. In 12:13, he says, they cried, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." That statement, "Hosanna," means "Save us." And their words were a direct quote from Psalm 118. In verses 25 and 26, this is what the text says. "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Now, when you think about this, the psalm says, "Save us, O Lord," and it's all capitalized. It's God saving us. And when Jesus comes into Jerusalem, they are saying to him, "Save us." In fact, this is fulfilling a messianic prophecy that talks about the Lord coming into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. There are several messianic passages that were predicted that are being fulfilled in this. But here is the irony of what they're saying. In the verses leading up to the statement, Hosanna, save us now, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The verses leading up to that, verses 22 to 25, say something that the people did not understand. And this is the part that they're actually fulfilling by their actions. It says, the stone which the builders refused is become the head of the stone of the corner. This is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save now. Now here's the piece that they did not understand that was in the psalm. The psalm is saying that there are going to be people who reject the Messiah. And when they do it, it is something that God is ultimately using to accomplish something. And this is a day that people who understand it rejoice in it. That's what he means when he says, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now. The psalm recognizes that deliverance cannot come unless there is first a rejection of the Messiah. The stone which the builders refused is become the corner. This was God's plan from the foundation of the world. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. The cross had to be the basis for this final cry. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now. Now the problem was that this group of people who was saying save now did not understand save now comes after the cross. And when we go to Psalm 119, you're going to see statements like, we are marveling at these things. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. We rejoice in this day and are glad in it. The point is that people who understand the psalm and understand that there is a Redeemer who is going to be rejected and he's going to die before he can save, those people understand the significance and they rejoice in it. And this is where the tragic irony lies. As the people saw the Savior who was coming to save them from their sins, they did not understand the nature of that redemption. They did not understand the glorious nature of God taking on flesh, dying as the sin-bearing substitute, and then being able to save people from their sins. And we see this in verse 16. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they these things which are written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. Now this is what it's saying. The people did not understand what was happening. The disciples did not understand what was happening. After the death and the resurrection and the glorification, the ascension of Christ, then they recalled what they had lived through. And they remembered what was promised in the Old Testament, what was fulfilled by Jesus, and then they understood the significance of it. And folks, that is the great takeaway from the text in front of us. When we think about Jesus, Jesus didn't just come to give us a kingdom. Jesus didn't just come to make our lives easy. Jesus came to establish the one and only basis through which we can enter that eternal kingdom. He came to die on the cross so that he could establish his kingdom. And we have the privilege of being a part of this kingdom only because of what he has done for us and because we have understood it by his grace and we have trusted in it by his grace. And so I ask you this morning, have you understood the nature of this redemption and have you placed your faith in it? Or would you see yourself as being one who has embraced this tragic irony? You want a Savior. You know who he is, but you don't understand why he came and why it matters, and you've never embraced him as your Savior. May God help us to understand these truths and then respond to them. Have a blessed rest of your day. Lord willing, we'll meet again tomorrow. Bye now.